Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Excuse me, by the way, two more home runs for Aaron Judge yesterday. Two more home runs, not one. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline as we will get into Bills practice from yesterday and some of the injury updates as we are 2 weeks from the NFL season and we're getting closer and closer to cut day. I bet you were right there. You heard that up to with, oh no, he had two. Judge had two home runs last night. He's on pace for 60 now, I think. What? Easily, right?
Yeah, he is. You know what's funny to me is I actually saw the first one I was watching. And then later, they were up by a lot, so I was doing some other things and getting ready for bed. It was an early night. And then I just happened to check in. I'm like, oh, they scored eight. How'd they score the last run? Bam. Wow, another home run for Judge. So I went back and watched the video. He is – Jeff Passan had a stat. Mm-hmm. Go search out Jeff Passan on Twitter and look at his stat. The numbers Judge are putting up right now, apparently what he wrote were – nobody is slugging at a higher rate this high into the season who hasn't been linked to steroids. They had to put that little part in there.
Yeah.
Since Ted Williams, which is unbelievable.
It's like
he really is the best hitter on the planet right now. He's incredible. He really is. It's I don't care who you root for. Watching this guy, I mean, just appreciate it. He's unbelievable what he's doing right now.
Yeah. There's another stat. I'm just looking up. I was looking for the Passan one. Yeah, here it is. Passan. Yeah, through 127 games, yep, first since Ted Williams in 1957 to put up those numbers. He also was the first player in history to bat 375 and hit 43-plus home runs in a 98-game stretch in a single season. So, yeah, that's pretty incredible. All right.
By the way, there's a good race going on in the AL East now, right? I mean, like,
yep.
It's pretty, if in case, you know, if you're not much into baseball or you wait till the playoffs,
yeah.
Just check it out. Like, the Yankees and Orioles keep going back and forth on who's in first, and then you have the Guardians right there on, like, the overall best record in the American League, which is all pretty cool.
And you got some help from Jesse Winker, the Western New York
Yes.
yesterday.
Bills fan, that's right.
Bills fan Jesse Winker gets one for the Mets against the Orioles. What a weird day for baseball, Sal. Joey Votto retiring from a Buffalo parking lot is definitely going to be trivia in 10 years.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like, I don't know, and I haven't looked into it. I haven't talked to anybody down at the Bisons yet or anything like that. Maybe you guys know. Was this planned? Did he just show up and decide to do it at the last second? Like, I have no idea how this went down.
Yeah.
All I know is I saw the posts about it and then his video. Like, did they say, hey, come on and do it? Did he just show up to the parking lot and go, I'm not feeling it today. I'm going to retire. I don't know how it went down.
I don't know either. It was on his Instagram, and he was in the park. It almost made it seem like to me like he was about to get in his car. He's like, you know what? I'm done. Let me tell everybody.
I know. That's what it seemed like.
It seemed like it was, yeah, impromptu a little bit, but I'm not sure. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline. The Bills have their preseason finale Saturday against Carolina. Get into a little bit about that game, too. But, Sal, the headline, I mean, you wrote about it on our website, and it was the headline, but the Bills getting a little healthier at safety seems to be the best news that we've had this week.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some time here before the season starts. And I think, you know, the alarm bells really went off on Monday when Sean McDermott ran through all the injuries, and there's been a lot made about that, and I understand that for sure. Like, there are a lot of injuries. As I've been kind of telling people here for the last couple of weeks, yes, it seems like there's some more, but let's always remember you do have injuries in preseason, and generally they like to kind of make sure that they back off a little bit and get everybody as healthy as possible before week one. It feels like maybe that's starting to happen a little bit here. Safety is the most notable position as of yesterday. You get Cole Bishop back on Tuesday wearing a red non-contact jersey. You get Mike Edwards back yesterday. Now, he wasn't in a red jersey, but neither of them participated in full team drills, meaning offense against defense. They did individual position work. Same thing with Nicholas Morrow, a linebacker, 2 days now where he's been back, only did individual work. My sense is, you know, once you get through this week and then, you know, you get past your final preseason game, maybe next week those guys, they get back in with the defense. We'll see where that goes. And then you're also going to, you know, start monitoring Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Quentin Morris, who else? Mitch Trubisky. So there are some guys still, Bealen Specter, who are important, you know, that are not participating, but they're starting to get a little bit healthier. And hey, as long as you get to, like, I don't know, the week leading up to the opener, and we get to that first injury report, you're going to have a few guys questionable maybe, but it just feels like it's going in the right direction here a little bit, and, you know, you just got to give it a little more time.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, handicapping, you know, Bishop versus Edwards, who might be playing a bigger role, should they both be healthy, would you give the edge to Edwards because he's a veteran, or is it a little tougher to figure out? Because if I remember right, Sal, like when they both last were on the field at St. John Fisher, even Edwards was kind of back and forth, right? First team, second team. So I don't know. How would you handicap those two as they get back to team drills eventually?
He was, but I would say that's because he missed pretty much all of OTAs and minicamp. Mike Edwards, let's remember, Cole Bishop at least got to participate in rookie camp, OTAs, mini camp. He gets hurt in training camp. Mike Edwards did not participate in any of that stuff until I think he was in uniform for mandatory mini camp, but he never participated in any team stuff because he had been recovering from his shoulder injury. Now it's Cole Bishop with the shoulder injury, right? So I think that's why, Joe, even on the Bills depth chart, if you go to the Bills depth chart right now, you'll see Cole Bishop listed as in the second team, Mike Edwards the third. To me, that's a lot of it's because circumstantial, because of all the injuries that he's had. If they're both healthy, I lean towards Edwards. I think the Bills signed Mike Edwards to be a starting safety with Taylor Rapp. In fact, Sean McDermott basically said that a while ago. Cole Bishop has more of a learning curve. He's a rookie. Now, that said, I mean, I think it's all about which guy they really just feel comfortable getting up to speed quicker now at this point, guys. Now it feels like it's almost a race now, right? And not necessarily in a bad way, right? I don't mean to say it that way. Oh, my God, I got to race against this guy to be up to speed. It's who can get there a little bit quicker that we trust a week one against the Arizona Cardinals to know our system, to know what to do. And in that case, you'd probably lean the veteran anyway because he's seen enough football. He's been around it. You know, for Cole Bishop, you might just want to make sure you kind of put him in certain situations. McDermott said when he was on with Shelton Bulldog the other day, thought it was really interesting. He said, you know, with Bishop, they have to figure out, like, once he is healthy, is he ready to play all three downs? Is it just first and second down? Is it third down? Like, what is that role? So that's an indication to me where they probably feel comfortable with Mike Edwards on all three downs, but you got to get him there.
Yeah. Would you still consider Hamlin to be in the mix to start there, or do you think this injury kind of really knocks the chances of that?
I'm glad you brought him up, first of all, because he has a hamstring injury, and he was another one that I saw progress in yesterday, meaning he was doing stuff off to the side with trainers. He actually stretched with the team, had his helmet on. I put some video up, and even though it's a hamstring injury, he's doing footwork with the trainers and shuffling, and that's really good. That's good progress. So he's getting closer, it appears. If everybody's healthy, I don't really put DeMar there as far as being, you know, a starter, but hey, I mean, he did have a good offseason. And he was starting, you know, while those guys were out. So I think that, you know, he would at least get a shot to see. And again, this might come down to who's the healthiest that we can trust. And as I keep saying this, I want to remind everybody, got to remember the Bills have 2 games in 5 days to start the season, right? I mean, they play Sunday, Thursday to start the year. And that Thursday game is a division game. If any of these guys are, you know, borderline, they might, you might just have to back off on them week one so that they're ready week two, because you don't want to kind of get them in a position where they're not very effective week one and then they're out week two. So I think DeMar Hamlin's still in the mix. Yes, to answer your question, I do think he's still in the mix, but I think it becomes tougher for him. Look, this is good old Cam Lewis now, right? That's where we're at. And Cam Lewis is just Mr. I can do whatever you need me to do. And if they have to, they'll play Cam Lewis, and they'll be okay with that. I mean, it might not be the most ideal situation, but they'll be fine with that. They have guys, Taylor Rapp, obviously, Cam Lewis. I think right now it's more about what numbers do you have? How do you approach the roster cut down on Tuesday, given what you have with the injury situation there and around the roster?
Sal, let me ask you about special teams last week. Obviously, Daquan Hardy wasn't the primary returner. They were giving looks to KJ Hamler in week one of the preseason. Obviously had the fumbled kickoff, which, you know, is not going to win you very many kick return battles. I was, you know, McDermott, I think, had some good things to say about Hardy, but talked about his youth and lack of experience returning. But he wasn't the only one that really stood out to me. I think Jamarcus Ingram stood out to me on special teams last week's sale, and so did Javon Solomon. For being a defensive lineman, I can't really think of too many guys that are running down on the punt team. He made that great play. I think it was on punt. I mean, they've got a couple of these younger players at the bottom of their roster, Sale, Hardy, Ingram, and Solomon that I'm thinking of, that I think will be primary special teams contributors. And I don't know that we've talked a lot about how they're key special teams contributors. We talked a lot about the losses of Hayden Poyer and Tre'Davious White and obviously, you know, Mitch Morse on offense, but they're also rebuilding the core of their special teams unit. They're losing Matakavich and obviously Saran Neal as well. Like, that's a pretty big turnover at the roster on special teams as well, no?
Well, it is, because, you know, those guys also are going to be counted on maybe to help on defense in some capacity, right? But yes, I mean, I think that you think about all of the different changes the Bills have had here last few years. Tyrell Dodson's another one, right? That, you know, was a big special teams player for them for the last several years. He's no longer on the roster. You said Tyler Matakevich, of course, that's one. When you say those names, Nate, you're not wrong. Those are special teams guys, but individually, I think Jamarcus Ingram's fighting to be the number three corner.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Ingram's had a heck of a offseason, heck of a training camp. I love his game. You guys know that. I've loved Jamarcus Ingram for a while. I just think his size, his length, his game translates so well to the NFL level. And I just think he's been on this progression for the last few years. And what did Bobby Babbage tell us yesterday? Did you guys hear what he said about Jamarcus Ingram? He gained 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Like he's stronger. So I look at Jamarcus Ingram and say, okay. And part of the reason why, you're right, like, he'll play special teams because they're comfortable with him having him on the roster as a defender. And yep, while you're there and you're not starting, you're going to play special teams, which helps. And then you go to Javon Solomon. Javon Solomon's interesting because they have numbers at defensive end, and it's going to be close on who they're going to keep. You got him. You got Kingsley Jonathan. I think I always see those two as kind of the same here. So do you keep them both? I can't see them moving on from Javon Solomon because, A, he's a draft pick. B, I think he's done a nice job.
Yeah.
You know, he's really kind of even coming around in the run game. And Kingsley has as well, by the way. I think they both looked good. So, but Javon Solomon, hey, we're going to keep him as defensive end.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, he's going to have to play some special teams, and he can maybe get on the field in certain situations or somebody gets banged up at defensive end. Now, Daquan Hardy is a bit different. I do think they would love to see Daquan Hardy win the return job. I think that's why he's getting all these reps. But with all of the injuries at safety, I just mentioned Cam Lewis has moved to the back end a little bit here. You know, Daquan's listed as a backup slot to Taron Johnson. He's also been playing the boundary during preseason. Nobody thought this guy was going to play the boundary when he was drafted. Yeah. Everyone said, oh, yeah, no chance there. He's just a slot guy and a return man. Why do you, I mean, read the tea leaves. Why are they doing that? they're doing that because they're probably expecting him to have to contribute. So the more he can do, the better. So they don't have to have one guy just can do one thing that they have to keep on the roster. If he can play slot, he can play boundary, he can be a return man, that really checks a few boxes for him to stay on the roster. And I think that's why he's being trained at all these things.
So, Sal, I mean, part of the reason I brought this up, and I'm glad you started walking down the path of where I was sort of thinking when I'm looking at this new, I guess, core of special teams players. Like, I think for a long time, or since Sean McDermott came in, these players, the Serranials is definitely someone I'm thinking of, and Tyler Matakavich, and some of these core special teamers that have been here in the past had been veterans that really was no threat to push another position. Like, they were core special teams players, but that was their specialty. I'm seeing more young players. You mentioned Jamarcus Ingram, who's pushing a former first round pick in Kyrie Lynn to be the number three corner. You have King Javon Solomon, who, on top of being a potential core special teamer, he might be asked to play 15-20% of the snaps because Von Miller's going to be more of a pass rush specialist. You got Cam Lewis, who's going to probably and can play a bunch of different positions. Daquan Hardy, who can play a couple of different positions. I guess where I'm going with this is they've gone younger on special teams, but these are players that aren't just going to be asked to be potential journeyman, like core special teams players their entire careers. These are guys that are pushing roster positions at the core roster spot that they play in as well.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Lewis, by the way, and Taron Johnson. Think about this. Cam Lewis and Taron Johnson are the now longest tenured Buffalo
That's
Bills secondary
crazy.
Players.
That's pretty crazy.
Right? Cam, it was his sixth year, I believe. He's only 27
sixth
still.
Year.
He's really good.
By the way, Jamarcus Ingram quietly is going to be 27 by the start of the season. Like he must have played a lot of college. He's 4 years older than Kyrie Elam is. That could even be a check in his in his favor that he's just
more
experienced, at least in college.
Yeah, you're getting some of these older guys because the COVID year. Like a lot of them had an extra year of eligibility. Same thing happened. By the way, it's Joe Andreessen. Joe Andreessen, I think, played 6 years of college football.
He did,
actually.
Yep.
I think he has five at Bryant and one at UB, right?
Yep.
So he comes in the league a little bit older. You're getting a little bit more of these guys who are coming in a little bit older. And, you know, Jamarcus Ingram came in a couple years ago, and, you know, he was a UDFA. But you're right. Like, you look at these guys, sometimes they're a little bit older than you think now. And, yeah, Cam Lewis, he isn't one of those guys. He came in, he's been 6 years, I think, now in the league. And, yes, these guys got to be counted on to do a little bit more. And maybe the philosophy is, Nate, for what you're saying, like maybe it, because the Bills have made a point, they've said a few times, like they've gotten younger, right? They've gotten younger. I will tell you, I think they're younger and they're a little bit more athletic. Think about the guys you're talking about. Saran Neal, Tyler Matakavich, Tywan Jones, who was here, right? And doing other things. Jake Kumerow. Like, these are guys who, yeah, they had these one roles, and as they got older, you know, maybe that's, you can't really count on them to be these regular players. Well, if you go younger and more athletic, you get a little bit more flexibility from some of these guys too, right? Hey, they can cover kick, but we can also put them into a spot duty on defense to play here. And I wonder if that's been kind of an intention, not just the financials of it, but maybe just, hey, that's what would help us. And let's be honest, they didn't have a great year on special teams last year. So they probably evaluated it. And my guess is there was some of that, which was, hey, maybe we just need to get a little bit younger and more athletic in some of these areas here.
By the way, if Joe Andreessen and Jamarcus Ingram make the roster, UB out here is like Bill's defense factory. And Cam Lewis.
It really is. I mean, we a few of us in the media were talking about that yesterday watching, which is the same thing you just said, Joe. If Andreessen makes it, I mean, you're talking about not only three University of Buffalo Bulls on the Bills, but three who would be like contributors, I think, in some capacity.
Right. In terms of what we're going to get on Saturday, Sal, Bills and Panthers, 1 o'clock, Sal Capaccio's on the Western Hotline. So Sean McDermott said that they would not be playing the starters and that the plan kind of changed on that front this week. I don't think we know yet what that means for everybody, right? Like, I think we all know it means no Josh Allen. Like, I wouldn't expect to see a Dalton Kincaid or a Deion Dawkins, but... Right. What about Coleman? Do you have a thought or a guess at whether Keon Coleman, especially with the injuries, would be considered someone that they wouldn't want to risk injury for on Saturday? Or would he play a lot? Because he played into the second half this past weekend.
It's a good question. My thought, just me thinking, I don't know this. We'll maybe find out from Sean when he speaks later today, is that you wouldn't play him. I think that you have four main wide receivers, Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. To me, those are your quote-unquote starters, right? So when you say starters aren't playing, he's probably in that bucket. And Curtis Samuel's hurt, so now you're even more thin if something were to happen. The reason why they're not starting these guys, Josh Allen and others, as you said, is because they have to preserve them due to the other injuries. And if that's the philosophy, it would make sense you'd want to preserve Keon Coleman to make sure you don't have another injury at wide receiver to a top guy you're going to be counting on. Yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he might need more reps. How much are you gaining from him catching passes from Ben DiNucci or Anthony Brown, though? Right? I mean, you have to think about that, too. So I would probably put him, and by the way, and Marcos Valdez Scantling's hurt. Like, you just have these guys that, can you risk Keon Coleman going out there and just, you know, twisting an ankle on a play, right? You just can't. So to me, he would be in that bucket. Even Tyrell Shavers, I would expect him, he's probably fighting for a spot here. I mean, he's probably got a lot to gain on Saturday, despite who he's playing with or anything. Andy Isabella, Justin Shorter, Demir Byrd, Deion Kane, Xavier Johnson. These are guys that are probably going to be counted on to be able to play. I don't know exactly what it means on who's playing and who's not.
Yeah.
But there are some guys that you could probably go either way on both sides of the ball. I agree with you.
Yeah. You mentioned while we're on receiver, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I mean, he's not going to play Saturday, and the injury, I mean, we'll see how long it takes. Tuesday is cut down day, Sal. What do you think ends up happening with him? Because we were already debating, you know, like, would he make the 53-man roster? Now IR, though, I guess, comes in as an idea on Tuesday. What do you think ends up happening with MVS? And you think Saturday matters to that for the other guys that would have been competing with him?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery because I think about, there's three guys I think about for this, which are MVS, Mitch Trubisky, and Baylen Spector. Like those three guys, I mean, Quentin Morris too, he's a fourth one because unless something's really wrong with Curtis Samuel's toe, like I think, okay, he's on the team, obviously not going to IR him. He'll, you just get him ready for week one. If worse comes to worse, maybe he's ready for week two, right? So that, to me, that's separate. I'm not putting him there. But when you hear week to week or multiple weeks, what does that mean for these other guys? I mean, Mr. Trubisky's out there with a brace on. He's not, doesn't have any uniform on. I don't know what you do at backup quarterback. How you, do you carry three? Do you put him on IR for 4 weeks? All right. Then you have Baylen Spector. Let's be honest. I mean, Baylen Spector's got to be looking over his shoulder at Joe Andreessen right now. And Baylen Spector's had some injuries throughout his career. And he's not out there yet. And I said yesterday on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, by the way, a little plug, anybody wants to listen, Matt Bove and I did 25 minutes yesterday on this. And I said this, which is, you know, it seems to me like he's really trending towards an IR candidate. At this
point, nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Point, Bill Inspector, because at least then you get Andreessen on the roster and see if he can actually play for 4 weeks even, right, before you bring Spector back. And they like Spector, but that's one. Then you have to figure out what you're doing with MVS. I agree. And do you just carry him through? What the answer to all of this, guys, just lies in how long each injury is, and we don't know that, right? I mean, they're gonna have to decide on Sunday and Monday when they go through this to get to Tuesday, how long all these injuries actually are for. And if these guys, if MVS, you're not getting them back for 4 weeks, it just makes sense. You're gonna have to IR them. But now, how do you do that? Do you get them on the roster and then IR them? Because you only get two.
Right.
This year, it's a change. You do get two, though. You never did have any before. You get two guys in that final day you can actually put on IR before final cuts, and then you can bring them back. And to me, there's three guys, actually four with Quentin Morris, that would be candidates for that. And the others, you have to decide, are you carrying them on the roster? Are you simply just IRing them? What you can do, I tell you this, here's what you can do. You can put all – actually, you know what? I have to look at the rule on this. This is a good question. I got to go look. If you put all four on IR, I don't know if you have to declare with the new rule the two that are coming back, or you could just kind of do it later. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, because
you could just
two.
Put them all on IR and not have to decide until, whenever.
Right.
Or do you have to
but
say it
I think
it
you
that
have
day.
To declare according to the way the rule was written. I'm going to go, it's a really good question. I'm going to go look at that now. But
okay.
I think the bottom line is all of this depends on how long these injuries are, and I don't think any of us kind of knows that right now.
Lastly, Sal, before we let you go, and we'll see if we can get clarification on like how that all works.
Yeah.
The last time Nate was in, we did our first snap draft, who would be on the Bills for the first snap of the season.
Yeah.
I think you're looking pretty good. I mean, me and Nate have both dealt with some injury stuff. You have James Cook, Keon Coleman, Dawson Knox, Chase Claypool, that's a no, KJ Hamler, Zach Davidson. I don't know. I think you're getting three out of that group. Cook, Coleman, maybe in Coleman, Knox. Although, again, 12 personnel, that might be tough. That could be Hollins instead. Anyways, I think you're looking pretty good in our first snap draft.
I liked my draft when it happened. So, you know, I think I'm looking pretty good at this point. I mean, that's the other point is tight end, too, what they're going to do there. I mean, not that Morris or Zach Davidson will be on the first snap of the game, but
yeah,
these are all like, you know, issues that they're going to work through. I'm looking at this, by the way, real quick. I want to see what this says about the IR situation. I think you have to declare them.
Okay.
When they go on. So if you put four guys. So here's if the Bills put four guys on IR, let's say at the last day on Tuesday, I believe according to how I'm reading the rule, you can have two of them designated to return later, and the other two would have to be normal IR for the season guys.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Sal, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks.
We will take a timeout here. Yeah, so that IR rule will make it interesting for how they treat Tuesday and also for backup quarterback, because if Trubisky is going to miss a few weeks but they think they could bring him back, then maybe they go Ben DiNucci. But if they think, you know, IR and he's out for the year, then maybe they decide to do something else. When we come back, I want to go through this first snap draft a little bit more. How we think the Bills are going to play week one and who's going to be available to them. Also, if you're on hold with a call, we'll get you on as well. Ken, if you stay on hold, we'll start with you when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's out today. This is WGR.
When anybody gets an opportunity to really prove themselves, right? He didn't get a ton of reps in training camp. You know, obviously now his reps have picked up, you know, with player availability at that position. And when he has had his opportunity, it's been solid. And for a guy that came from his upbringing in football and to be a tryout player and to go into that situation that he was in, I mean, he was going against NFL starters. I think you just see the professionalism in him, how smart he is. And, you know, obviously he showed some things in that game. But it's one game. True sign of a pro is consistency. That's what we got to see out of all our players.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich on Joe Andreessen. Buffalo Joe. Hey. That's fine. There could be a different... But he outranks me, I think. He should.
Yeah.
Especially if he makes the team. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Andreessen, by the way, quickly on him. Did you see his RAS score?
Yeah.
Floating around Twitter this week? His, is it raw or relative?
Relative athletic score.
Relative athletic score. Was a 936 out of 10. And I saw another person point out that out of 2,800 linebackers that they've evaluated with this relative athletic score since like 1985, Andreessen ranks like 150th. So my question would be, how did the league miss him? How is he not even a UDFA if he was that athletic?
Yeah.
Is it just the UB factor? He only played at UB, actually, though, for 1 year, right? Where was he before that?
Bryant.
Okay, so it's not like he came from... Like, I know Ingram came from Texas Tech.
Right.
He came from... What's Bryant? FCS?
I believe FCS, yeah.
So it's just where he played college football, basically, then?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Yeah, I'm not sure how you miss somebody with those sort of testing numbers and not throw a flyer at him.
Right.
And the only reason he really got a tryout here is because he's a local kid.
Right.
Is he like getting that, a tryout elsewhere?
That's what I mean. If the Bills didn't bring him in, would he have even had a look anywhere? Maybe he would have. I don't know how that went with him, but it kind of feels like if the Bills didn't bring him in for a tryout, the league would have just missed him.
Yeah.
Completely. That probably happens once in a while, right?
I would think it happens, but yeah, for me, how good he was in that game and the opportunity he was, like, I was doing postgame and, like, I was probably, and maybe this is a couple weeks ago, and I can't exactly remember who I was talking to about this, but was out, I was golfing, we were talking with a couple people, and they kind of kept asking the question, what about Andreessen? And I was like,
yeah,
come on. I know there's eight guys in front of him.
It kind of felt like, oh, this is new, it's defensive Christian Wade.
A little bit.
Or, yes, you know, whoever the third string running back is that always,
correct,
gets 500 yards in the preseason.
And I definitely did not give it much of a chance. Him, obviously, Terrell Bernard, when they decided he was not playing in that game, you could have easily gone Deion Jones, mm-hmm, who's started football, right, games in the NFL. You could have gone with,
made a Pro Bowl,
you know, somebody else there, right? But they decided that he had at least done enough in practice to earn a look.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving him a look with the starters to see, like, can he play?
And did he not answer the bell, yeah, in every way
big
imaginable?
Time.
He's
big time.
He's getting attention from Brian Baldinger on Twitter.
Yeah.
Derek Klassen and Amina Kimes both were tweeting about how good he was also. Is he their number two middle linebacker right now? If Baylen Specter is out for weeks.
I still think Morrow.
Jeremy's question earlier in the week, would the Bills have beat the Chiefs in the playoffs last year if Joe Andreessen had played? I mean, I think he's their backup middle linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Morrow has started a lot of football games in the NFL.
I know. I can't get my brother who covers the Eagles for Locked On Eagles, I cannot get my brother out of my head, though, for how bad Nick Morrow,
yeah,
is at football. I don't know. That could have just been the Eagles and their defense, right? Like, they had a lot of bad things in their defense the last couple of years. So maybe not the best environment to get the best out of people, but he was bad in Philadelphia. I know that. But he's a veteran.
He's a veteran.
So is Deion Jones.
Yep.
I hope he makes it. I hope.
Me too, of course.
He's going to get
me
a lot
too.
Of run probably tomorrow.
I would guess on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, I
me.
Would also guess he gets a ton of run.
803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get a call in from Ken in Lackawanna. Our Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Morning, Ken. What's up?
Good morning, guys. I am unfamiliar with the injury reserve rules. If Trubisky had to be put on injured reserve, would they be able to bring in a younger guy with some potential and Mitch still participate in the quarterback room and sit on the bench and tell Josh Allen what he's seeing during games?
They would be able to, as Sal pointed out at the end of our last segment, Ken, you get two reserve or injured reserve returns on cut day. So if the Bills decide to put a couple of players on IR Tuesday,
if he's going to IR,
they can make
done.
Trubisky one of them.
They're not gonna designate one of their two return to plays for a backup quarterback. They're more likely to have a injury buyout than that, I think.
They could be in an awkward spot then.
Could be in a very awkward spot.
What if they think they signed him to a 2-year deal? Yeah. What if they think he's going to be back by week 4? What do? You cut him? Do you keep him on the active roster injured? Or do you use one of your two IR spots? Like, none of those really sound like, if you're from a Bills perspective, none of those really sound like great options.
He could be their third emergency quarterback so that...
So you would keep three, you would roster three quarterbacks. Then.
Because, well, you do in the NFL now anyways. Like, on the game day roster, you get a third emergency quarterback that gets to dress now, but he cannot play unless both quarterbacks in front of him get hurt.
Okay, I see.
So it's not like...
I see where
you
you're going with this.
You can...
You're going to put like DiNucci on the practice squad
and then say
elevate him,
right?
A few times
he doesn't
in
have
a row.
To be elevated. They get that third quarterback roster spot regardless. Does not count as a training camp elevation. He gets to be in the roster, but they can't choose to play him over the number two. Let's just say Trubisky's the number two. Trubisky has to play unless he gets hurt in that game. The only way the third quarterback, emergency quarterback, can play is if both quarterbacks go down. He cannot be elevated above the second string.
But if he's already hurt, I don't think you can work around that.
I don't think you can.
I would think you would have to use your elevations, which could be fine, by the way, right? Like, a lot of times they'll elevate guys and then not even dress them. That might be the way to do it. If Trubisky's going to miss like a month, you keep him on the active roster injured, and you elevate, you put Ben DiNucci on the practice squad, and 3 weeks in a row, you just make him one of your three or whatever you get elevations. New England did that last year, I think, with Zappe, didn't they? I think New England did that with somebody. So, that's an alternative. I just like the... Listen, I was ready to move on from Trubisky based on his play.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
So, I'm good with just moving on. And cut and bait. It's $750,000 of dead cap. Like, you're not really incurring a penalty if you cut him, at least not much of one. So I would just go find the best guy you can get that gets cut, or bring Kyle Allen or Case Keenum back and do that. I would be into that. Trubisky, man, he's got the mobility, but that dude will not get rid of the football.
Mm-mm.
Just will not get rid of the football. Who else are we interested to see Saturday? Other than Andreessen, the backup quarterbacks, maybe a little bit. Frank Gore Jr.?
More Frank Gore Jr., yeah.
But does he have a path, really? I got an answer for you. It's between Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter. Shorter, Sal said this, he's having a bit of a late push here at training camp. I've never been a real big fan of the player. But listen, they're thin, right? I wanted to get to this, our first snap draft that me, Sal, and Nate did about a month ago. Drafting, like, who's going to be on the field? Their first play of the season, who's going to be on the field? And already a bunch of us, like, we've lost guys. I've lost my first, I mean, maybe Samuel, right? We'll see if Turf Toe, if he can recover in time for week one. I've lost MVS, and I also drafted Michael Thomas. That was more of kind of let's take a shot in the dark at the end of this. Nate, you drafted Kincaid. He's on the field.
Yep.
Mac Hollins. I mean, right now, I think he's on the field, right? For their first play of the season?
I believe so.
Reggie Gilliam, he could be. It's more of a package-specific thing. Quentin Morris, no. And Ty Johnson, maybe. Also, you threw in Andy Isabella dart at the end of it. But you drafted Hollins. That's kind of what I want to get to here. This is where Coleman and whether he plays Saturday is interesting. Because right now, doesn't it feel like you know who their top three is definitively if Curtis Samuel's not ready to play week one? It's Shakir, it's Coleman, and it's Hollins.
Yeah.
And I don't even... That's where I get interested for Saturday, though. Who's the next man? Because you're going to play more than three receivers. The fourth guy might only play a little bit. But... right now, does that mean Tyrell Shavers is getting snaps and going to get two targets in week one against Arizona? Is Shorter going to be that guy? Is Is Hamler going to be that guy because he can do some of the gadget stuff that Samuel does? He's not going to do all of it. He's too small. But I think those are the three, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, one of those three is going to be their fourth receiver if Samuel can't be good to go. And how do we feel about that? I mean, that's pretty thin.
The MVS injury creates a little bit more intrigue on the bottom. Maybe it shouldn't, because I think if you were of the mind that he was trending, like, maybe he wouldn't make the team anyways.
I was thinking he was going to make the team. He shouldn't.
I don't disagree with that. I just wonder now with this injury what that means. Could he be an IR guy? And if MVS is injured and can't go week one, so he doesn't make the roster or there's an injury settlement, that means there's a wide receiver that's not on this team that will likely be on the 53-man roster.
You think that would be where they add at, like, the cut?
I think they would have to. Shorter would be your what? Your fourth receiver?
I think Shavers right now would be their fourth receiver.
Or that's what I meant. Shavers.
Yeah, I think right now it would be Shavers.
Well, fifth receiver.
Yeah, right. If everybody was healthy, fifth. But
you would think they were planning on keeping six.
Man, that injury to Samuel, it throws a wrinkle and everything too. Like, MVS, yes. But Samuel was going to be a factor. Undoubtedly.
I think turf toe up isn't like the end of the world to me. He's going to still.
Doesn't it depend on the grade? I guess if it's a higher grade, then it could be a nagging thing.
Yeah, it absolutely could be end up being a nagging
thing. Or it could be fine by week one.
Yeah, right.
Really, he's the one I'm most curious about. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's a big day today. I'll tell you why. It's a national holiday of sorts to all those that celebrate. The elite season is upon us. What is today? I'll tell you what when we come back. Also, get to a little bit later on in today's show, kind of just evaluating the 53-man roster, but also like target share in this offense this year. Is a bunch of different things to get to in terms of this season. And a couple things I heard on Chopin the Bulldog yesterday about Joe Brady that kind of all tie together that we'll get to in the 8 o'clock hour. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR. This works. The elite season is upon us. Happy national, not really national, but it's Pumpkin Spice Latte Day. You can drive down to your local Schmarbucks. And today, here on August 22nd, you can go get your PSL. Will you take part? I think I have to.
I like pumpkin spice. I just think it's a little early for me.
It's 54 degrees out.
Oktoberfest beer has been out for like 2 or 3 weeks now.
Has it?
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, this should really be like a temperature thing. They only have it on days where it's below 60 degrees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be 64 today. I can't get one. But tomorrow it's going to be 58. I'm in.
Why is this an appropriate song for this, by the way?
It's like, Halloween.
Oh.
Is this a Halloween song? Halloween is fall. I guess
have
it kind of ties together.
Have you seen the music video?
I have, but
the music video is definitely Halloween.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a Halloween song, though.
Thriller?
I think the music video makes it a Halloween song.
Is Thriller a Halloween? I think it...
I'm not...
I think it is.
I'm pretty positive it's not a Halloween song.
Why is it not a Halloween song? Because it's... They don't say Halloween?
I don't...
There are monsters in the music video.
In the music video.
What is it about? It's about the monsters, isn't it? This is one of those things where I'm thinking I know what a song is about and might actually not know what the song is about. By the way, it's not just the pumpkin spice lattes. You can walk through your local home improvement store and check out all the decorations that are up.
Apparently,
I'm fine rushing to fall. I don't need to rush to Christmas. Right, like Christmas stuff coming out in like, well, really the day after Halloween ends. That's a little early for me.
It's technically fall, considered a Halloween song.
I'll rush anything for fall.
Thriller paired with Monster Mash are often considered the two most prominent Halloween songs.
Listen to that.
And Monster Mash is definitely a Halloween song.
For sure. I mean, it's like the Monster Mash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just never viewed Thriller as a
Halloween song.
I guess that's my bad. That's on me.
Halloween. Well, we still got 2 months to go till that. But fall. I mean, it felt like fall this weekend.
Yes, it did.
And yesterday.
I didn't really love it.
You didn't love it?
No, it's too early for it. I'm not ready to get away
from
summer.
This weekend was so nice.
Leaves are starting
to
change.
Yeah, no, you're right. I could take a couple more boat days. Another beach day, maybe.
I mean, fall starts in 8 days, technically. 9 days.
Yeah, but we don't go by that, right?
Meteorological fall, Sunday, September 1st.
Yeah. I guess. Football. Week one of football. That's when fall's back.
That's two weeks.
That's the date. 2 weeks from today, Ravens and Chiefs. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Jeremy's off today. Get some fantasy in. I got a big draft tonight. And Curtis Samuel's injury is going to make the Bills a lot easier, I think, if he's out early on. Stay tuned. Time for your phone calls. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.